Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the future stars of wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco.
Kill the music.
I'm trying to kill the music. There we go. Hey, how you doing, Joe?
You'd be perfect to run the music at the FSW arena when it just overlaps over and over. And it's like, can you kill the music? The guy's in the ring already.
I was trying to, but the way they set this up, we've got a sound effects tab above, and I thought that's what I was doing. And wacky sound effects they give me.
Wow. Sin City Steve getting pre-recorded when he didn't realize it in the toilet, huh?
Yeah, well, he's got some issues. wow, man. You know, it's... been a couple weeks here since you know, we last talked. You had a little outing there with the Backlash watch party and the three count tournament. How did everything go with those events that weekend?
Yeah, it was fine. You know, three count was light. Again, I'm not sure how properly or well promoted it was. The Backlash was all right. We had some people there, you know, Ice was in control and kind of hosted the event. And we had some FSW people. We had some fans. I saw people that were at the show actually this past week that were hanging out with us. And I think that's something that can really grow because it's a watch party. So you're right. Going there to watch something. You know, the three count just has to be kind of figured out, I think, because, you know, it's an event. And right. If you're not playing in the event, I don't know how exciting it is to continually watch other people play video games, to be honest with you. You know, right. I think there's something there, but I think there has to be a better prize pool. They're just... It kind of gets thrown and it's like, hey, we got three count coming up in, you know, a week. And it's like, okay, let's, you know, and it's their event. It's not our event. We're trying to help out, but we can't help out if we don't know. You know, right. We have to worry about our stuff, which is, you know, and there's been issues at the HyperX where, you know, people that were in key positions are no longer there. Right. And, you know, we had enough issues of our own with the show to not be able to have the videos working and everything that makes that arena special for us.
Right.
Was kind of like, it was difficult enough being EDC weekend, coming off Mania, all the shows, you know, and I'll be honest, I think that there was a burnout when it came to this show. A lot of the regulars, other things going on, EDC was going on, right, and everybody was like, oh, looking forward to the anniversary show. And again, that's also the difficulty, as I stated, of running a big show every single month. Right. You know, generally, we did last year, we did the bunch of stuff with Mania Week, which we didn't even run any shows ourselves. We did like the Future Legend Women's Tournament, which was a minor show. And this year, we ran two monster events. And then, instead of having the month of May off, we had to come right back with another big show.
Yeah.
And, you know, the card was solid as solid can be. And a lot of the people that responded were, oh, that looks like a great card, but can't make this one. Looking forward to the anniversary show. And it's like, understandable, you know, and it's still my job to figure out, you know, how to get it done, because it is a great venue. And, you know, it was the perfect storm of finally having a big show that maybe didn't live up to the standards. A lot of people liked the show that were there. I rated it. Somebody asked me C+, and I'm like, yeah, C+, B- kind of around the same thing. You right. know, nothing stood out as like, oh my God, this is horrible. Because the last show that I thought was really good had some really shitty moments. Yeah. I don't really think there was as many shitty moments on this show. I just thought it was kind of mediocre. You know, there were some good things, nothing that'll stand out at the end of the year of like, oh man, did you see that?
Right.
Oh, it wasn't Bodhi and Leo Rush. You know what I mean? And wasn't crazy moments. And, you know, everybody tried hard. And, you know, it just doesn't always go the way you expect it to go on paper. So it was like going in, I knew it was going to be lighter than usual. And, you know, we ended up kind of filling up the downstairs, thankfully. You know what I mean? But, you know, overall, it's like, okay, let's move on. And, you know, good things happened, but we got a lot more stuff happening this year. And now it's like, okay, let's figure everything out. So, you know, we got a show May 31st that's setting up the anniversary show. That's going to be big, 17th anniversary.
Yeah. Real quick on changing the game. Is there anything from this card that stuck out to you in terms of, you know, moving storylines forward, or just something that stood out, you know, that maybe you didn't expect to go as well, that, you know, went fairly as, you know, good as possible? Or was it just overall that kind of feeling of, you know?
Well, I'll be cool with going through it. Leave that up there. We can keep on the side. You know, we can start off with MK and Zamaya. And, you know, wasn't expecting a barn burner, but I wasn't expecting, after all, everybody being involved, it was a little disappointing. It was like, it was one move and it was over. And I was like, oh shit, what the fuck? So, you know, I was hoping it would play out a little bit more. It didn't, you know what I mean? And, you know, Hiro, San Lu ended up getting, a Ricky Tenacious in there. Great opportunity for Ricky.
Yeah.
It was okay. You know, it wasn't great. Wasn't horrible. It was okay. You know, and then you go to Jaden Cole and Fox Valentine, and it looked like we got something there. Referee got taken out. I don't believe we've seen the end of that combination of Fox Valentine, Jaden Cole, and obviously AJ Avon. So I think some seeds were definitely planted for some upcoming stuff. Yeah. Skipping over after the issues with MK and Zamaya. It kind of broke down. Chris Bay made the match happen. You know, Duke and Juicy, they're big boys. You know, they overcame. And Fresco and Watson, you know, they did well, but they couldn't overcome the size advantage. And but right. You can also see Duke and Juicy as a team. You know, they got the mariachis for the anniversary show, but initially my thought is, oh man, how is this team going to lose? But the question become is, how is this team going to win? Because as a tag team, maybe that chemistry isn't there yet. So right. Maybe two or three matches down the road. So now it makes this match a lot more interesting to me, because these are two alphas. These are two guys that are always shooting for singles, gold. You know, we even saw a Duke with Koa, never got the tag titles, you know.
Right.
And these are singles guys that are kind of now joined together at the hip because of MK. It's going to be interesting to see. The Mariachis have been they've literally been the longest tenured tag team in wrestling, being that they're about 28 years in together. Right. You know what I mean? So they're a well-oiled machine. So it's going to be interesting to see. Bateman and Shogun, I'll tell you what, Shogun is a beast. Shogun looks better than he ever has.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bateman, once again, through the skin of his teeth, you know,
yeah, he
stays the champion. Yeah. Live Danger in Pretty City. A lot of people seem to really enjoy that. People know I'm a big fan of Live Danger.
Yep.
And I think all they need is a little more experience. And I think our fans will get behind them the more they see them here.
Yeah.
You know, they will be on the show May 31st. They'll be wrestling the Chingon Cartel and Young Money in a triple threat.
Nice. Yeah. That's a good match. That's a good match. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, you forget because you don't see him that often in an FFW ring. And now that we've seen him a few more times, man, TJP's as smooth as you can be. You know what I mean? And Bodie is getting to be that guy.
Yeah.
You know, years ago, we had a guy named Ryan Taylor who, for some reason, never seemed to make it. And it was like, man, this guy is so smooth. And then all of a sudden, boom, he showed up on Ring of Honor. And then, boom, he showed up on NXT in his mid-30s. And we were like, holy shit, like this guy was originally booked for my first show in 2009. And it took him 12, 13 years.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that at Bodie at 18. And another guy was like, that was Thomas Day. When I put Thomas Day with Ryan Taylor, I would call him almost like, you know, Taylor Light, because he kind of slid under the radar, the yoga guy, but technically he was so good.
Yeah.
And the precursor to that is obviously TJP. And, you know, we see it in the classes now that he is, you know, hasn't been in Japan because he's working for AAA. So it's a great asset to have TJP, you know, on board as, you know, a major trainer here at FSW. And, you know, Luke and Saturn, you know, if they want to be a tag team, I'll tell you what, they'd be pretty successful too.
Dude, and talk about two guys who just kind of weirdly match up perfectly. Like, you know, sometimes it's funny. It's like when you put two characters together, they kind of gel. Like, you don't have to have them together for a long time. It's just those two characters just seem to have that same swagger and attitude. It's kind of nice to see those two as a tag team. And I mean, Jesus, you look at how many tag teams you have already, and then putting guys together like that, it's like, oh, that's some
flavor. Right, and even BYTJP.
Yeah.
You know, mariachis were like, oh, love to work those guys. It's like, well, hold on. You know, Bodie's got his own things going singles-wise. That just happened to be making do after a situation that I thought would work So I guess that would be my proudest moment of changing the game was the setup for them. And, you know, they looked like $1 million in there. You know what I mean? And then, you know, that's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then we had the Jay Vidal segment where people thought G Sharp was coming out. But Beans got to make his casino show debut. So
nice.
Didn't work out too well for him, but you know.
No, but you know what? That's the beauty of wrestling, right? That's the wonderful when you can pull the wool over the eyes of the fans and then have something like that, and it's just entertaining. Again, that's the whole thing. I love the fact that wrestling fans are so into the wrestling style, but overall, it's the entertainment value of what the show is in the end. And I think
and Jay Vidal is, you know, really become a different person, you know, since the alignment with Bateman.
So and, good.
You know, Stockholm Syndrome, as they like to say.
Yes.
But, you know, we already can announce that match. G Sharp is currently on a tour of Europe. So, you know, Jay Vidal knew Sharp wasn't going to be there. Yep. And I was setting everything up because the idea was when we knew Sharp wasn't going to be around for a month, we were just going to announce, you know, Sharp and Jay Vidal is going to happen at the anniversary show. So we got two main event type matches already. Mariachi Montana versus Duke and Juicy. Jay Vidal versus G Sharp. We have the Cash in the Case ladder match.
Right.
Those are three main event matches already. The heavyweight champion Bateman obviously will be defending the title. So that's a fourth match. We know we got the Nick Bockwinkel Battle Royals, the fifth match. The pre-show is going to be the finals of the Future Shock Championship.
Right.
That's the sixth match. And we haven't even talked about the women.
Right.
The No Limits champion. The Nevada State champion.
Right.
All the other tag teams that we have in the mix. You know, there's going to be a lot of good people in the Nick Bockwinkel Battle Royal. A lot of times it's very heavy with the younger talent.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got Cash in the Case qualifiers coming up. Like, really? Who the hell's going to win that match? We're putting it out today. So Dante King returns. He's in a qualifier. And he's going against Lou Curtis.
Nice.
So one of those guys won't be on the match.
Right. Yeah.
We got Bodhi going one on one with Nick Zander.
Right.
So we saw Nick at No Escape in the Scramble Inside the Cage match. And he's looking to, you know, make a statement. I thought it was 2 years. It's been almost 3 years since Nick Zander's had a singles match.
Yeah.
In FSW. Yes. You know, things happen. People don't agree on things. But right now, hey, the time is right. So that's a match. Just announced another Cash in the Case qualifier. Bryce Saturn going one-on-one with Watson.
Nice.
So those are three matches. All six of those guys could be in the Cash in the Case match.
Yeah, that could be your Cash in the Case match, you know, just off the top of your head. Yeah, I agree.
Without a doubt. So it is definitely going to be, you know, very interesting. March, you know, May 31st, Brittany Brooks is wrestling Zamaya for the Women's Championship. You know, Zamaya won't have the anchor of MK because last time they wrestled, I believe it was at No Escape, you know, Zamaya had to overcome MK.
Right, right. Now she's got the fair shot.
So in between two big casino shows this May 31st, High Octane. I think Mikey created a new name for it, something to do with burning the money or something like that. What's it say on there?
Let's see.
Money to burn.
Money to burn. There we go.
Yeah.
Mikey's graphics.
There's a lot of shows in town that if you give them the money, it's really money to burn. This is the exact opposite. And then Ice Williams is going up against the MK Army's Kevin Koa.
Oh, nice. That's a good match.
So those are four. So four people are going to be in it. We're also looking at a scramble match, possibly. We're looking at maybe upgrading one of the Future Shock guys, and maybe the top Future Shock guys will battle it out for a spot in there.
Okay.
So try to put some new blood in there. But what's Shogun going to do? Is he in that? We don't know yet.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of opportunity to be had. Dave Mazzani, the Pain Train, he's usually definitely part of that Nick Bockwinkel battle.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, a possibility. But who's to say Dave Mazzani doesn't get a shot at the cash in the case?
Right.
So we're still figuring it out. You know, we got about 11 days. It's a Sunday 5 p.m. show. You know, Bateman will be on hand. He won't be wrestling. I guess we're going to be figuring it out because currently who is in line to wrestle Bateman for the heavyweight championship?
Right.
You know, could this be something to where, hey, you know, we were very successful doing a No Limits versus Nevada State Championship match. How cool would it be to see maybe Song Lu versus Bateman in a title versus title match?
Yeah.
You know, Hogan Warrior, you know, that was a big deal. You know, Song Lu has been hitting on all cylinders.
Yeah.
You know, him and Bateman, you know, if anybody, you know, heavyweight champion, you could look at both guys and you know, they are definitely capable of being, you know, that guy. It was like trying to find this sheet that I did, and I was trying to put some stuff together. See, where is this? And it was like trying to put together the rosters and of all these guys because we're looking at different things. And it's like, wow, this is quite impressive. But of course, it's the one piece of paper that I can't find. Maybe it's on this one. Did I do this here? Possibly. No, it was a different notepad that I had. Oh, there it is. That I got it from Dave Mazzani when he was having his list of 45 people. I never took his... I never gave back his notebook. But looking at the FSW roster, and now this is the main regulars, okay? So you got San Lu. Devin Reno is moving to New Hampshire. So Pretty City Express is no longer.
Yeah.
So now Class, former Nevada State champion, where does he lie? But you go San Lu, Class, Bryce Saturn, Brett the Threat, Ice Williams, Braxton, Koa, Bateman, Sharp, Jay Vidal, Bodie, Luke Curtis, Shogun, Remy Marcel, Jaden Cole. And then you got that No Limits of the Fox Valentine, AJ Avon, and a guy who's been very impressive, Gabe Broca. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 14. That's almost 20 guys right there. And then it's like, okay, now let's look at the tag teams. You got Mariachis. You got Live Danger. You got Lights, Camera, Faction. You got Duke and Juicy. You got Young Money. You got the Chingon Cartel. The women. We got Brittany, SOS, Haley J, Taylor York, Gypsy Max, Amaya, Fallen Gray, Maserati. Like, how do you fit all these people on there? You know, and then we're talking about, you know, Future Shock, you know, and we got guys that we haven't seen in a while. Damian Drake, Matt Vandergriff, he's just starting his rehab. I put in the call to the former FSW women's champion, Zoe Serrano. Her target date is July 24th. Well, guess what? FSW has a show at the HyperX July 25th. Huh. So we are in going to be in discussion soon about seeing if we could make that happen.
I imagine that the price that Lacey wanted versus what Zoe probably wants is a little bit different.
Well, hopefully Lacey will come out of that. Well, Lacey will be the one that I'll be meeting with when we're discussing pricing. But, you know, there's always the seminars. There's always a meet and greet that people you would, you know, hope be interested in that to kind of, you know, pad the bank account. But I also know, you know, Tom Howard, the great Tom Howard, you know, has always really thanked and appreciated everything he feels I did for her. So, you know, hopefully that plays into it.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure it will. You know, that's a homecoming for her. You know, and just like, you know, I was proud to be able to get Cross the first match when he came back, which ended up being short-lived because he went back, but he got Jacob Fatu, and that was the first appearance. You know, we were supposed to have Matt Hardy when he left WWE before he attempted to go to AEW, which he was going to be on the next week, but the pandemic hit. So, you know, pride ourselves as that company that, you know, makes the moves and try to get things done. You know, to see Brittany Brooks or even Zamaya, whoever is the women's champion after the 31st against Zoe Serrano. Hey.
Seriously, right?
That is definitely a notch that will be right on, you know, their side pocket. You know, that's how Lacey got her vibe going to where people were like paying attention because all of a sudden she got to work Tessa Blanchard at the Mecca.
Yeah.
And she got to work Jordynne Grace for the TNA title when she wasn't even signed to the company, where people took notice of how good she was. And the funny thing was she had the tryout a couple of weeks later, got offered the contract, and then TNA tried to come in with an offer, which was too late. So, you know, and again, being a little selfish, I was hoping she would have took the TNA deal because I knew we'd be able to use her.
Right.
But for her success, you know, that's where she wanted to go. You know, that was the dream. And, you know, she got to live it for a while. And, you know, you know, as motivated as she is, because you know she is, she was training. Yeah. She was ready to go. We had talked with her. We seen her at the FSW training facility. And she was good to go. So not being able to get an opportunity while she was just waiting for the call because they thought they were getting a call a couple different times that they didn't get. And then they got the one call they didn't want. So, you know, she is, you know, Bubba Ray put her over huge.
Yes.
Yep. Road Dogg put her over huge. And, you know, the one thing we all knew that she lacked was she wasn't the best on the microphone and didn't get a lot of opportunities that way. But it always seemed like when they had their flavor of the month, Tiffany Stratton or whatever it was, they would put him in a match with Zoe Stark.
Right.
And see where they're at. I'm pretty sure if she was healthy, Jade Cargill would have gotten that match with Lacey.
Right.
You know, so everybody knows what a great worker she is. And that's very rare when you're talking about women's wrestling, great worker. You know what I mean? It's like there's solid workers and there's good workers, but she is currently, you know, a top tier women wrestler. If you want to watch women's wrestling, yeah, to where it's not going to be all, you know, bells and whistles.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can see that the work rate, you know, when you have someone like Zoe, the work rate gets better, you know, for they make everyone look so much better. It's yeah, amazing.
And, you know, and if you think she's good, but not sure how good, go watch her match with Jay Vidal. Go watch her match with Matt Vandergriff.
Yes.
You forget it's an intergender match. It's the man versus the women. It's like, wow, this is a really good match between two really good wrestlers. And that's where Zoe stood, you know, head and shoulders above. You know, that's why we figured she had to get signed, because she had everything you would need in that situation. Because a lot of times, a lot of really good talented younger and the women talent, you know, they're much smaller. You know, they might be 5'2" and they're 110 pounds. And it's like, you know, Lacey could hang with the guys in matches. So, you know, hopefully, you know, I can't not see her. Why wouldn't a TNA be interested in her?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you could say AEW, they got a million people on their roster. I think for her success personally, TNA would be the place to go. Cause we got some local women that work AEW, and Trisha Dora, and I saw Maya World and Viva Van, and they're all kind of lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, and they end up, you know, filling out Ring of Honor shows, and that's
I was looking, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna count how many matches they had. Jesus Christ, 30 matches at the taping the other day, 6 hours long.
Jesus.
And you know, you know why you're telling me it's a throwaway show? Because you basically just taped 2 to 3 months of the product in one city. You know, that hadn't been done since, you know, 1987 Wrestling Superstars, WWF.
Right.
They go to Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Right.
And they would film literally all day for TV. And that's how they would do it. And because of the internet and because of live streaming and because of everything, like NWA, same way. It's like they tape so much, like, they announced Silas Mason wins the NWA title, and then 8 months later, it's like, oh, congratulations to Silas Mason for winning the NWA title. It's like, but you told us 8 months ago, and that's how long it took, maybe right. six, but it was still a very, very long time from when he won his – when their number one championship to they actually aired it.
Right.
And I think that's the reason why, you know, TNA is able to, you know, be in a better position than they have, because Ring of Honor is not Ring of Honor anymore. You know, I forget Jay Lethal even wrestles for them anymore. It's like, here was a guy whose legacy was, man, anything I can do to get Jay Lethal on a show. And now it's like, wow, it's like he is so forgotten.
Right.
In some random match.
Right. But yet, if you try to get him to wrestle on one of your shows,
right,
inevitably he's going to have to go to tapings.
Right. Oh, that too. We had him booked when he was still kind of hot off using that Ring of Honor name, because it was the other Ring of Honor, not the new Ring of Honor.
Right.
And it doesn't mean anything anymore. Yeah. It's kind of like the NWA, it's great what they're trying to do, but Billy Corgan's NWA is not Ric Flair's NWA. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no, you absolutely. Know? Absolutely. So. And then it's, you know, and it's funny, you know, when you get the random TV deals and, you know, it's
interesting. Yeah, and then they make the claims, more people watched our show than TNA. And it's like, yeah, I guess, because they're on AMC Plus. But how many people watched it? I don't have AMC Plus because I don't have cable like nobody does anymore. We have it through a service. And I watch AMC, and I actually pay for AMC. So you don't count that. But Netflix on the stream counts everything for WWE. Why doesn't AEW count HBO Max to watch Collision? Because you could. Because I couldn't watch it on TNT because I don't have it. Yeah. So it's really weird how all these dynamics of how many people are watching. Because I also know when we're getting our stuff on the stream, there's two numbers. The number is how many views. But the same person could watch it five different times because they're watching it in bits and pieces. That counts as five views. So on Netflix, you got X amount of views. That's different than if you're watching on cable. If you're watching, it counts that you're watching once.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a really hard dynamic to do that. It's like when I hit them up about title match. Oh, how many people watch? Oh, we had this many views. And it's like, wow, that seems like a lot of views.
Yeah.
But when it breaks down, but you know, he was claiming, I believe, 7,000-8,000 views for the Mecca. Okay, well, they got a good subscribership. 8,000 seems really good. But if it's 2,100 people watching for 8,000 views, I don't know if that's as good. If 6,400 people watched it, okay, I feel a lot better. But you never really get those numbers.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So, and being in the wrestling business, I guess it's great because everybody pads everything anyway. And it's like, oh, man, why don't you say we had 700 people there? I don't know, because I'm proud of the fact that we had 500 people. Why do I need to lie?
Right.
You know, I no offense, but I can't put 1,000 people in the HyperX. So I'm not going to be like, oh, my God, at the Mecca, we did 1,000 people. And it's like, the fact that we did almost 600 is fucking huge on a Mania Friday when the SmackDown was going on a mile and a half away and it was ending an hour and a half before our show. Or the fact that how many WWE fans jetted over to go watch the Hall of Fame ceremony that was happening at the exact same time.
Right.
Or, you know, the 50 people that went over to the Palms to see the Maple Leaf Pro show.
Right.
Yep. You know, how many of those 50 people might have came to see the Mecca?
Right.
Yep. Or how many people went to go see Joey Janela's show that started way earlier but ran long?
Right.
And maybe it ended at 9:30. Oh, I know it's a short ride, but man, we just watched 4 hours of wrestling. Yeah. We're gonna go eat. We're gonna chill. Maybe we lose people from that. So, you know, we did probably, you know, I saw a lot of the stuff. House of Glory, I think, did really, really, really well.
Yep.
From the Palms, but I think they were one of the few.
Yeah.
And obviously, certain shows at the Collective, Joey Janela's, of course, Bloodsport, of course, did extremely well. But I don't think there was very many shows that weekend that did better than the Mecca.
No, no, a lot of the shows were hurting. That was one of the, you know, the big feedbacks, is that there was so much that, you know, it was scattered. But those particular, like you said, about five shows did really well, and that was it.
Right. And Bloodsport has its name on it for 7-8 years. It is a show that always, same thing with Joey Janela.
And with Bloodsport 2, the extra draw with that is you had like Natty and I think Charlie Dempsey and a couple of the other, you know, the WWE names.
So, of course. And and again, so they got the, again, that's one of the top mainstays. You know, we're talking with Cross, and you know, he's in Australia, won another title, that World Series of Wrestling, which, you know, they spare no expense, man. Those guys loaded up.
Yes.
When they run shows, Shotzi, I saw, wrestled, you know, Baron Corbin, Buddy Murphy showed up, Buddy Matthews, whatever you want to call him. You know, Brian Cage loved working World Series of Wrestling. Matt Cardona, like, what they would use the best of the best who was available, you know, to use. So, you know, trying to find out, we got to figure out what's going on, you know, with Cross. Maybe we do a two-night thing, you know, maybe we do a back-to-back, you know, a Mecca Natural Born Killers, you know, HyperX weekend, trying to do an anniversary show. We're looking at doing the Hall of Fame, and I'll be honest, the idea for the Hall of Fame, maybe it's the July show, because we just got to put things in check. But the plan is to induct Cross into the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
And at this point, maybe Zoe Serrano.
Sure.
Maybe Chris Bay. Maybe the three homegrown talents who, you know, other than, you know, Sepha, who's still currently part of everything, but those three to go in together, I think, would be somewhat special.
Yeah, I think that would be great.
You know, Bay, Cross, and Zoe all in one place. Who wouldn't want to take a picture with the three of them in the ring?
Right. Yeah.
So that's definitely something that when we're talking about, hey, well, what could we do to sell the off-brand pay-per-view?
Yeah.
You know, June, we got the anniversary. August, we have Survival of the Fittest. November, we got Luck of the Draw. So July, September, October are three shows that generally would be FSW arena shows. Well, January 24th, we did New Year's Resolution. Over the last 10 years, a traditional FSW arena, bigger FSW arena show. But it became the very first FSW HyperX show, literally 2 weeks after No Escape at the Silverton, a huge casino show. And we did better at HyperX because it was the first one, new venue. We built it up as a big deal. Everybody wanted to be a part of it. So, you know, our fans are very, very loyal, but everybody's only got so many dollars to spend. And some shows are, hey, changing the game where it's possible that, you know, looks good, catch it on title match, don't, you know, have to go to every show. You know, we loaded up Mania. You know, we had to pay all those all that money for the pictures with Sepha's crew, only to be able to take a picture with Jeff Cobb for a lot cheaper if you see him at one of the gyms where he's working out. But
apparently, from a post I saw on Instagram, that gym is a beautiful beach, and his legs look fantastic.
there you go.
Jeff's got it going sweet right now, man.
Oh, I bet. You know, he's still got that. They pay him, what, for 60 to 90 days still? And And, you know, I heard he's already talking and, you know, didn't burn no bridges in New Japan, you know. And he was a monster there. And it was a shame that they didn't give him those opportunities. You know, it was kind of weird that I was like, wow, Jeff Cobb signed with WWE. That's weird. And all it was to kind of fill a spot in a faction and not be a guy. Like, who wouldn't want to see some of those matches that, you know, you could have had Cobb be in singles matches? But, you know, but again, I'm pretty sure he knew exactly what he signed up for.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, he you know, not to say he's at the end of his career, but he's at the tail end of his career. Yeah. And being nowadays 38, 40 is the new 30. You know what I mean? Guys are producing very, very well at 46, 48, 50 years old these days. You know, back in the day, it'd be like, oh, my God, 40. This guy's done.
Yeah.
You know, even look at our guys. When you had guys like Remy and Cody, you know, it was their mid to late 30s when they were in, you know, the best positions they could be in.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they generally, by the time you learn everything you should learn, and if you're going to do it right, you do it right, you've already passed the peak.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And now peak is more 35 to 40 than 28 to 32. And it's funny because, you know, WWE, you talk with Gabe, and he always talks about, you know, that window closing at about 32. And it's like, wow, 32 is like really should be the peak. Like 32 to 38 right now, instead of, man, I get it. And you get the Javon Evans and you get these young cats. But at 22, 23, 24, man, they're babies. They don't know what they're doing yet.
Yeah.
You know, it's different than pro ball and football where a running back's done by the time he's 28 because his knees are so blown out.
Right. And also, let's be honest, too, when you talk about a main outlet, right, for national exposure, right? The fact of the matter is now you have one, two, three, four, five major company, you know, major quote unquote companies with MLW and NWA and TNA and AEW and WWE. The fact of the matter is that you need talent from 18 years old all the way to 50 something to just fill out all these spots and rosters and everything. It's crazy how much opportunity is there now too.
You know, look at former FSW champions. Brian Cage started with me in 2009.
Yeah.
He wasn't a rookie. He had already been in development. Developmental in 2009. He had just left in 2009. Take a look at him 17 years later.
Yeah.
Find a guy in better shape than Brian Cage. LA Knight didn't get a break. He would be him a manager.
Yeah.
Riding off into the sunset, getting a little paycheck at 37, 38 years old.
Yeah.
Now look at him. Main guy. Yeah. Damian Priest, early 40s.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, look, you know, Jeff Cobb got signed. Yep. Look at all those guys that they signed. CM Punk's back. You know, he's 48 or something.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, Finn Balor's got to be in early 40s by now.
Got to be right around 40, right? Cena just retired. Roman's still on top, and he's right around 40 now.
Brock. Man, after all those years retired, he's back again.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeez.
And again, how old are they? And it was like, you know, they can say what they want about Lesnar and stuff. But, man, did you hear that crowd when he came out?
Yeah.
You know, it was mind-boggling. And it was like, it was kind of weird, that whole situation. But you know what? That clash in Italy – you want to talk about main events? They got three main events. They've now made Oba versus Brock Lesnar. It's a main event match.
Yeah.
You know, you could talk about sometimes how, I guess, Saturday Night Main Events, it might be a little light, but big difference. The Saturday Night Main Events, instead of going for the first pay-per-view in Italy and maybe forever, maybe ever.
Yep.
You know? They like to hit those home runs on those European shows.
Yeah, and I think it is the first one ever from Italy. So.
Yeah, I've never heard of a pay-per-view in Italy. They saw how good GCW did in Italy yesterday, so they said they have to book a show.
Right. I think the most memorable thing that ever happened in a show in Italy was the Santino Marello debut, because he was the fan in the crowd.
Oh, that's right. He won the Intercontinental.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like, you know, in Germany where JBL did the goose step. That was a big, big moment in German wrestling history in WWE.
So. Oh, man.
Well, things you remember. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess that's what wrestling's about. What do you remember?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, that's the thing. One of the things I was just going to ask you, you said remember, since we're thinking about anniversaries right now, is there an anniversary that stands out to you as we kind of start getting ready to wrap up this week? You know, anything from any of the past anniversary shows that you really kind of off the top of your head go, oh, yeah, that was a moment.
I don't know if it would be about matches. I think the 10th anniversary was the biggest special anniversary show for us.
Yep.
I remember it was the 10th anniversary. So I said, hey, we're going to let the students sell tickets for $10. Yep. And, you know, generally, you know, I always joke about it. And Dave Mazzani sells a bunch of these tickets. But generally, you know, you got a whole bunch of guys. And even to this day, you got the Foxes and the Jaden Coles and the AJs and there's a few others. And they'll sell 5 tickets, 8 tickets, 12 tickets, sometimes 15. But I remember at the anniversary show, we sold just from the students at $10 a piece, 300 to 400 tickets. It was crazy because we had almost 1,000 people at Samstown, for the 10th anniversary show. And I'll be honest, I couldn't fucking tell you a match on that show. Now, if you told me the matches on the show, I could probably give you a detailed breakdown of every match on that show. But I have no idea who wrestled on the 10th anniversary show, which now makes me very curious, you know, to know who was on it. So I am going to quickly look, because I know Cage Match usually has something like that.
Cage Match has it.
Like 2000, then there you go. Now I remember it. The main event was a no rules match between Chris Bay and Killer Cross.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, that's right. That's when Hammerstone and Graves defeated 1%.
Yeah, that was when we did the cash in the case.
Right.
Yep. So I believe
1% beat 1% defeated Soul Burners.
Right, right. Yeah, Thomas Day and that. But so Graves won. And at the time, Hammerstone was the Nevada State champ, what defeated Sepha.
Right.
For the Nevada State title. Yeah, so that's one of the biggest shows we ever did, to be honest with you. And then when Graves won. Hammerstone won. I believe Graves turned on Sepha because Hammerstone was a heel, and Graves, when he lost to Sepha months earlier for the Nevada State Championship when Rikishi showed up.
Right.
Graves and Sepha celebrated in the ring. Graves wins the cash in the case. then helps Hammerstone win the Nevada State. Then they cash in after Thomas Day and Ryan Taylor lose the match to the 1%.
Right.
And they ended up with three belts at the end of that. And I loved it. I loved it, that whole setup with the cash in the case, winning it that night, defending it, and cashing in that night. And then I remember we set everything up for Survival of the Fittest, and then it all went fucking downhill from there because Hammerstone got called to Japan for the MLW tour.
Right.
And, Yeah. All of a sudden, their team was Graves, Gallo, who hadn't been seen very much. And then replacing Hammerstone was the owner of PCW, Dom Fight the Halley.
Right. That's right.
And nobody knew who Dom was.
Right.
And that ended up being against like Shogun, Chris Bay, because Chris Bay lost the title.
Right.
At Luck of the Draw. See, I can tell you everything now I remember. At Luck of the Draw, Shogun came out for his match because he won the Rumble and got attacked by Hammerstone and Graves and got laid out. And then Bay defended against Graves, and Graves won the heavyweight title from Bay.
Right. That's right. Yep.
So those are definitely matches and things that I remember at that time. And Shogun beat Kenny King in one of the worst finishes ever in a countout. Right. Shogun at the time when he was the Shogun, he had a sword. And something happened out there. And then there was a really good match, Heaven and Hell match, Funny Bone and Sin Bodhi.
Right, yeah.
You know, they had a lot of matches, but that was a good one.
Yep, that was amazing. And the one that sticks out here as the worst part of the show is the Nick Bockwinkel Battle Royal winner.
Yeah, who will remain nameless.
Exactly. Holy shit!
Just but then you got the fact you had a faction match. It was the following against the Hater Nation because we had done the anniversary, and it was crazy because. Oh, no, that was a different one. But it was Big Duke, but it wasn't the Big Duke.
Right.
It wasn't Big Duke Lawrence.
Right.
It was members of the following, which was Big Duke, Cody, Bryce Harrison, and Jacob Austin Young, which later on we ended up doing something at the Hall of Fame ceremony.
Right. Yep.
To where, actually, I wonder if it was this one because we might have did the anniversary.
It was this one because.
And Jacob Austin Young was in the match too, right? No, it wasn't that one because Duke wouldn't have been in it. I remember we did a three. Right. No, that was different because it was a 3-on-3.
Right.
That ended up being a 2-on-3.
Right.
Because Bryce Harrison never showed up.
Never showed up. Right. Exactly.
And then we finally saw him again about a year ago at the Silverton. As a fan.
As a fan.
Yes.
And he looked like a fan at that point.
Yes.
Did not look like Bryce Harrison anymore.
But it was good to see him. I was hoping he'd, you know, it's kind of like Jason Partain, the former Major Maniac, came by for the Mecca. I saw him. He came by a couple weeks ago, you know. He's the first Vegas wrestler who got a dark match in WWE history back in the day when he trained at Rush's school.
That's crazy.
And he got to wrestle Tajiri at the Thomas and Mack.
Wow.
So that was a big moment. You know, I always liked Partain. He's the craziest motherfucker in the world, man. Well, not as crazy as Phil Baroni. He still will be number one on the list. But, you know, we always had the running joke. that one day before a show, somebody crapped on the floor in the bathroom. And Cutthroat Cody, Crash Test Cody, Cody Hancock was the one who cleaned it up. And he was a trainer at the time. This was, you know.
Right.
And I always joked that Jason Partain snuck into the FSW building, took a shit on the floor, and ran out. So it was good. So when I saw him a few months, you know, at the Mecca, I was able to tell him the story of how I've told everybody that this guy Jason Partain snuck into FSW and took a shit on the floor and then ran out. Because I remember he did one. There was this guy, Fredo. He was Fredo Danelli. He was Dino Danelli's nephew. But he was kind of like the slow godfather. The Fredo. Version, you know, yeah. The Fredo. And what's funny was they had heat because I guess Partain snuck into his Fredo, Iron Lion, who wrestled for us as Iron Lion in the early days. And he put a stink bomb in fucking his car. And literally he had to fucking wash it over and over and over. But he's also the same guy. So years ago, here's a story Remy Marcel will enjoy. Back in the day, one of the first stories we ever did was the Iron Lion and the Frisco Flame. Okay.
Okay.
Frisco yeah. Flame, outwardly gay character. So Frisco Flame had an affection for Iron Lion. We had some matches. So I guess Frisco Flame beat him early Silver Nugget days, 2009, 2010. So we set up a match. And it was Iron Lion versus Frisco Flame. And if Frisco Flame wins, Iron Lion has to go on a date with the Frisco Flame. Okay? So the match is going on. Iron Lion rolls out to the ramp. Out comes Remy Marcel trying to cheer on Frisco Flame. The referee's counting 5, 6, 7, and then as Iron Lion goes to get back in the ring, Remy trips him up, and Iron Lion gets counted out, making Frisco Flame the winner.
Right.
So after the show, we're at the bar at the Silver Nugget. We were filming the date. Iron Lion had a partner at the time. Rick Ellis was really good till he broke. Fucked up his back. And Remy went on to win the No Limits title. And Iron Lion was kind of disappointed, I guess, bitter, disappointed, whatever you want to say. But needless to say, we did the angle. They beat the shit out of Frisco Flame. That kind of ended the thing. Probably couldn't do that today in 2026. It might be considered, you know, baiting, yeah. You know, gay bashing, but it was part right. of the story, whatever. But yeah. years later, getting back to Partain, so we were at the Boulder Highway, and all of a sudden I get a call from Iron Lion. What's up? Oh, man, I got your message. You know, I'm really down for this. And I'm like, dude, no. I didn't even message you. What the fuck are you talking about? Oh, no, I got a thing from your phone, from your number. You told me, you know, you wrote how you wanted to come back. You wanted me to come back and take the No Limits title from Remy. And I'm like, dude, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And somehow in 2011, Jason Partain was able to figure out how to make a text from my number to rip Iron Lion again, that I wanted him to come back after I hadn't seen him in who knows how long, to come back and take the No Limits title from Remy Marcel. So you want to talk about the king of ribs?
Shit, yeah.
You know, that's Jason great. Partain was that guy. Oh, is that guy. Sorry.
Oh, my God.
And then I got another story for you. So this past week, I get a message from Rush. And wow. I haven't talked to Rush in a while, but I see his posts about how good his kid's doing. You know, set the record for the school, most RBIs in a season, Division III, you know, All-American, you know, first team, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, wow, this kid looking pretty good. I remember this punk little fucking kid when he was like, you know, 5 years old back in the day, you know?
Yeah.
And Rush hits me up out of nowhere, and he was like, hey, you still in touch with Jeff Jarrett? Not really. I guess I got his number. So it turns out Jeff Jarrett owns or is part owner of like three baseball teams like for summer leagues in Illinois.
Yep.
Where Rush's kid plays baseball. So I go looking for my Jeff Jarrett number. Don't have it. I'm like, fuck. So who do I hit up? Old Faithful, Sanjay Dutt. Hey, Sanjay, hope all's well, blah, 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 blah. You got Jeff's number. He gives me a number, but it's like 12 digits. It ends up being wrong. Gives me another message. Gives me another number. I message Jeff Jarrett. Literally within like an hour. Hey, Joe, how's it going? How you been? Blah, 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 blah. He goes, I think he owns one team. I don't know, because it's like in Springfield, Illinois. So that's where Rush was talking. It turns out he owns three, so he's like, hey, which one does he want? Blah, blah, blah. We're going back and forth. We hook up Rush. Rush sends him an email because he needs to get the bio and all the stuff. Rush hits me back that Jeff got back in touch with him in like 30 minutes. So, you know, hopefully Agent to the Stars, if Ketch Mills makes it into the major leagues, I got free tickets coming for the rest of my life.
Which is
funny. That's the that somehow my connections in wrestling help somebody.
Yeah.
To play baseball, it's like wow. And again, baseball is the sport I love the most ever. So it's like
it's even more ironic because literally yesterday, Jarrett was at the Twins game because in July AEW is running a brawl on the baseball field.
Yeah, I saw that based off the golf thing they did too.
Yeah. So it's hysterical that, Jarrett just kind of Jarrett and baseball now this week has been a popular.
So long story short, for all the dumb fucks that are training and wanting to be a professional wrestler, always embrace every single opportunity to form a relationship with somebody because you never know what it could lead to.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, people cry about, oh, seminar money grabs and the TNA tryouts. And it's like, well, if it wasn't for the Global Force tryout, Cross would have never met Jeff Jarrett, never would have got on the books to met Sanjay to basically get signed by TNA years later.
Yeah.
And again, would Kevin have signed with them possibly? Sure. Because he got trained by Disco Inferno, who did a podcast with fucking Conan, who was booking AAA, and who booked fucking Cross as a monster in AAA?
Yeah.
Fucking Conan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, who saw Lacey Ryan on TNA, and then who saw Lacey Ryan get a tryout, and then all of a sudden TNA offered her a contract? Oh, yeah. Chris Bay wrestles Daga for 15 minutes without a contract. They give him the fucking moon. Like, what the fuck? They don't sign this guy? Nope. Yeah. But he goes to WWE because they're in town. They need a dark match for Aria Davari, Sean's brother, who I'm friends with, who's really good friends with Sanjay Dutt, who sees they need a match for Aria Davari, sees Chris fucking Bay. There is no choice anymore. Give this motherfucker the match. He gets the match. And then within a week, all of a sudden, TNA offers Chris Bay the contract.
Yep.
Because of relationships that were made.
Yeah, exactly.
Some were because of me. Some were because we were all in the same space together to where Maybe I had that person in, Jacob Austin Young. We got a seminar with Jushin Liger.
Yeah.
Okay. Jacob Austin Young does the seminar, whatever. Hey, we're going to pick somebody. It's Carl Fredericks. Carl Fredericks is already booked on the show. But that's who they were going to pick for the thing. Somehow one of the young lions were there. Rocky Romero, who's part of it. Carl Fredericks got in. When we booked Rocky Romero, he worked Jacob Austin Young. When TJP, who became friends with Jacob Austin Young because of being in Vegas, needed somebody to recommend for the United Empire, he recommended Jacob Austin Young, who Rocky Romero knew very well.
Yep.
And on TJP's vouch, we can't get Jacob Austin Young on shows anymore because he's always in Japan.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And now here's Jacob Austin Young. Got some New Japan strong matches, but whatever. But Jake's been grinding for 10, 12, 13 years by this time. Most people, including himself, probably think no shot.
Yeah.
But thankfully, because of knowing the right people in the business, all you idiots who don't go to the fucking TJP class.
Yep.
Take advantage of every situation. In a lot of cases, it ain't, you know what? I get it. $100, $150, the Gabe seminar, things like that. You know, Fallon Gray. Hey, she's on NXT. She's now on Evolve. Jimmy House. All these guys. Because they put $100 down.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just a money grab. You know, Fallon's young. She's got a long way to go. Something about her, they liked her. She's gotten that 100 back 100-fold.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And she's still really in the learning stages.
Yeah.
Wrestling business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Listen, learn, shut the fuck up, and pay attention.
Yep. And that's.
And I try to tell the people the same shit. And there's a couple of guys in part FSW that I'm not using.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because their outside life, and I get it. Hey, if that's more important to you, that's fine. Yeah. But don't expect me to be here for you when you can't be here, you know, because you show up for something that only benefits you. That's great. But if you can't do anything to benefit anybody else, and other people who put their vouch on you, you're making them look bad.
Yeah, exactly.
And it happens. And you try your best and you let people slide. But in most cases, you know, it's fool's gold. You know, you believe those people are going to show loyalty and respect and humility. And it is what it is. You know, you can only do your thing. You know, I got... That's why I have a small circle of people that I, you know, go through things with.
Yep.
Because they've done it not for a couple of weeks or a couple of months. They've done it for years.
Yeah.
So I can have battles with them. I can fucking yap back at Remy and, oh, that's dumb, or you're a fucking idiot, or that's stupid. Yeah. And go back and forth and not like things, but the respect is there.
Yeah.
And it's like younger guys don't understand how to earn respect.
Yep.
I'm a pretty open book. I don't bullshit. I don't fucking need to like tell you this was great. Hey, well, how was the show? You know, people weren't there. Oh, how was the show? That was mediocre. You know, it was across the board. Yeah. You know, some stuff was okay. In 6 months, I won't remember anything from it.
Right.
Nobody's fault. Not every match is great. Yeah. You know, LA Knight had some shit fests in FSW. Brian Cage and Kenny King was the fucking worst.
Well, I was going to say, on that note, I just think that's the perfect place to end. Just on that quote, Kenny King was the fucking worst. Beautiful.
Yeah. You know, it is what it is. We got a big show May 31st.
Yep.
You know, we got Cash in the Case qualifiers, a great card. We're back at the FSW Arena, you know, and it seems like people are taking advantage of a lot of the regulars. We're pretty much offering, because you know what? Here's the deal. Future Shock is a show 95% family and friends. Our regulars generally don't come to it. Fred, Jamie, they come to every show. So you know what? I'm trying to offer something. So we have May. We just did May. So we got June, July, August, September, October, November, December. Seven shows. Okay. Seven shows at the HyperX. Front rows, $45. Breaks it down. That's $315. Okay.
Right.
Future Shocks are $20 a pop. Seven shows, that's $150. So that's about $455. We'll probably do about four more high octanes at $30 a pop. That's $120. So we're at about $550. So if you send $400, I am going to give you the season, rest of the season pass. For anybody who wants to get front row, it'll be $50 more if you want the stage seats, because some people love the stage seats, and I'm gonna make you pay that $5 extra. But you know, we've already got a few people they took advantage. They even got a better deal because they did it for this show that just happened.
Right.
So 45 times 8 is 360.
Yeah.
And then one of them hit me up because they said, hey, it said all the house shows from June to December. Well, we have a house show May 31st. And only a couple people took advantage of it, but they come to so many shows. It's like, you know what? That's there. You know, we can do that because the HyperX offers us the venue at such a limited cost. I'd like to give back. I want as many people. I don't want to have the struggle to fill the bottom at HyperX.
Right.
You know, I want more people to see that younger talent and see like, wow, that Colin Muldoon seems to be doing a lot better now that he's with Gabe Rocha and Brett Red. And hey, that C4 with Dave Mazzani, they're a fun tag team to watch. Right. And hey, Jeffrey Excellence and the Golden Showers, they're over.
Right.
And you got the Exility Josh, the weirdest name in wrestling. But here's a kid who came in, problem child, like what a pain in the ass, like this motherfucker. And it's like, I saw him at the last Future Shock. And here's a guy who really, you know, lean, you know, not a big muscle kid. He's still, you know, he's still, but he's in really good shape. Like he's made himself and he's fun to watch and he's exciting. It's like, man, there's a lot of great young talent. Jaden Cole, this is his 1 year anniversary of wrestling. You know what I mean? So it's like $400. And if you can't afford it, well, we're going to do the GAs for $300.
Yeah.
Which, you know, at the HyperX, that's already $200 just for that.
Yeah.
That.
Exactly. Yeah.
So for $100, that's 5 out of 7 Future Shocks and 4 more things. So it's a really, really good bargain.
Yeah.
So message me, hit me up, Zelle, Venmo, Cash is king still. Well, yeah. So basically you can watch all the FSW arena shows. And we're also in the part or talking about renovating it a little, trying to upgrade it, make it look a little sweeter. You know, that HyperX looks so good. You know, nothing, a coat of paint, some more posters, some, you know, trying to upgrade everything here at FSW. You know, this is this could be the biggest year, you know, basically because of Mania. So it's like, let's keep it going. Next year, Mania won't be here. What are we going to do?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. On that note, we are out of here. Thank you for tuning in and happy wrestling, everybody.